Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, YouTube.com/Fightful, and it's time for your AEW Dynamite post-show. No, I'm not Sean Ross Sapp. No, I'm not someone you normally see unless you watch me on the TNA post-show or in the weeds over on Fightful Overbooked. No, I am Atul Pearl, and I am very happy to be here tonight to talk about AEW Dynamite. It's April 3rd, 2024, and as always, the one, the only Alex Pawlowski is here. Hello, how are you, Alex?
Good. I'm just glad that you are up and around after your concussion scare against Obafemi last night. So I'm glad that they're still doing you versus Sean Spears. I am looking forward to that match. And otherwise, you know, screw Chris Jericho. Everything else looked good to me.
Yeah, let's talk about it. AEW Dynamite tonight was a solid show. There were moments that had me going a little off kilter, but overall, I mean, I was loving that final segment with Swerve and Joe. This has been a fantastic build. And this, I didn't know, Alex, if ending the show, because they don't do this very often with Dynamite, I didn't know if the ending the show with a promo was going to do it. And I think they did it well this week.
I'm going to have to take your word for it because my DVR stopped recording right around the time a bleeding Swerve reached for a microphone. We'll get to the main event. You can tell me what happened. You could lie, and I could have to believe you because I did not see. I'm assuming that was a lot of fun at that point. But my DVR was like, no, this is the preferred cutoff point. We will not be watching this anymore. So we'll talk about that when we get to the main event. But everything leading up to that was pretty great. So I'm assuming the rest of it was good too.
Good news is you can always. This is the great week because NordVPN is one of our sponsors for tonight. Mm. And you can always, you won't miss anything with NordVPN.com/fight, but we'll get to that. And of course, our friends over at Bet Online, they're also sponsoring tonight's show. It's a big week. Where is Sean? Sean's on his way to Philadelphia for WrestleMania. There's a lot to talk about. We'll talk about FightfulSelect.com as well. Best $5 in the business. Get all your info from us. Let's just kick right into it. If you haven't already left the thumbs up, go ahead and do that right now. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and do that right now. If you want to get your super chats read, any man, get your question or statement right on the air. And of course, you can go to humperchats.com. That's another alternative for you to drop some knowledge on us. Any amount, question or statement right on the air. And our good pal, the moderator, Luis, will get us going with it. All right. Show opens up with Adam Copeland. Oh, baby. He's got no TNT title around his waist. And immediately you're just like, did he leave it on the top of a car at a Longhorns? What are we doing here? And I'm wondering, Adam Copeland without the title, I'm scared because normally that means we're doing something unexpected. And he says, I came out here as Adam to address everyone. And then he starts going into the talk of negative feedback, Alex. And we're talking about, of course, the MMA Hour interview with CM Punk and maybe the way that people are feeling about this. And he turns. Go ahead.
When you said negative feedback, I assumed you meant the audio issues.
Listen, I do a TNA post show every Thursday, and I am very well aware what negative feedback sounds like, believe me. So this turns into more about wanting to talk about the positives, and that's what he focuses on. And he basically talks about, you know, 9 years being out of wrestling. He loves wrestling, the WWF, the NWA, the Stampede, all the Canadian territories,
right?
Pro wrestling. And then he turns it into, I can't really put it any other way, it becomes a rah-rah AEW speech.
Sure.
And I don't... Jeremy Lambert's here, and of course he's gonna... Yeah.
Guys. There's been a lot of negative BS that's been spewed over the past week. All right? There's been a lot of negative BS. Mm-hmm. I am here to tell you everything's fine. Everything's positive. Everything is great. We should all celebrate. Celebrate Fightful. Celebrate wrestling. Celebrate it all. Justified AEW chance. Celebrate it.
Thank you, Copert.
Mm-hmm. Look at my hair. My God.
Yeah, what did you do?
I don't, I mean, you did the edge thing, and then you put the headphones back on, and now the hair's all off akimbo.
It throws it off when I throw the headphones back on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what happens. That's what happens right there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we host a show on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays over on Fightful Overbooked. It's called In the Weeds, and this is basically what you get. I mean, Alex doesn't typically join us, but
No, I'm asleep when you guys do that. Are you kidding me?
I can't blame you.
I had to welcome Alex Pawlowski back from his vacation. I guess he technically returned last night.
Yes, I did.
You know, yeah. Joel is unfortunately here for some reason, really scraping the bottom of the barrel for these shows.
Everyone's in Philly. In Philly. And Sean was like, please, I need a favor. And I was like, who else are you going to ask? John Alba? No.
Well, again, that's why, but it's okay, Joel. I'm not here to spew negative BS about you, Joel. Joel Pearl, let's celebrate, Joel Pearl. You're doing great, Joel. Without you, this wouldn't exist. You are one of the people we should be thanking right now, Joel, for doing this show. TNA, you bring great positive light to TNA every Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Alex. You're always very positive, Alex. No one ever says you say anything negative.
No,
we should celebrate you.
No, I would never. That's hasn't been my entire brand for several years. Are you kidding me? No.
We should all celebrate. Everybody celebrate the pro wrestling. All right.
Right.
Everybody in the chat, even if you're being negative, I see someone being negative, but that means you're watching, and that means you are invested, and that means you like this. Okay.
Right.
That means you are here. And you like Fightful and you like pro wrestling.
Yep.
We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody who celebrates pro wrestling. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Celebrate pro wrestling.
Before you leave, we did get a super chat from Tyrone Kidd saying, OMG, what are Joel and Jeremy doing in the Sour Zone? So I think we're off to a great rousing start.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody. I hope you enjoy the Dynamite review. Celebrate pro wrestling. Justified wrestling chance.
Back to the weeds with you.
Yeah. Very deeply so. He's got to cover a Tony Khan media call tomorrow, a post Tony Khan presser after Ring of Honor. I'm sure he'll be full of Tony Khan piss and vinegar. Will Jeremy Lambert. We'll get there.
Right.
Anyway, back to Copeland. So he names everyone he can like have a first time match with. He talks about Austin. Yeah. Kenny Omega and Hangman and Swerve and Joe and Claudio, Mox, Darby, FTR, everyone.
Sure.
And then he kind of launches into this AEW is the reason for the season. And I'm like, you had me in the first bit. And I don't know how I feel going off to the end of it. And then he brings out Will Ospreay. And I like that. And we've got back on track. But I want your general thoughts. Copeland came out, just kind of felt like he shot from the hip.
Right. So the Punk interview dropped while I was in my dark my media blackout period. Like I was hanging out with the fam across the country, not watching wrestling, not paying attention to the discourse, just open Twitter, and everyone's just having a conniption over some interview that Phil did with Helwani. I still haven't read all of it because frankly I saw what I needed to in the quotes that were posted. And if this is what this is a response to that, I think, okay. I don't know if it was necessary. But I like that, the heart of what he said that like AEW, it's good for AEW to exist because it provides jobs and another place and an alternative for the people who, post date the Monday Night Wars of the late 90s, and for whom WWE has been basically it. Like for a while in the aughts, like TNA was a viable number two, but like it not in a while. And then AEW crops up, and then it's a thing. But here's another place where people can go and do different things than they were allowed to do at the place where everybody is used to going. And so I think that is all fine. I like that he names all these people that he gets to wrestle that he wouldn't have opportunity to. So selfishly for him. It's a good place to go. It's a good opportunity just to have this place available. and if it's a response to Phil and all of his stuff that he's doing in that interview, I guess okay. But like it does seem to like just forget about the thing where we release a dude who's injured before his contract's up, and like that's a like it, hey, this is a great place where we can go and make a living. Except one of the guys you released says on Twitter that he had to have a second job through his entire contract with AEW just to be able to make ends meet. So it feels like you were paying him performance center money, which like, I mean, okay. So we just have to be honest about both sides. It's great that AEW exists. Could they be better? Yes. And I feel like doing the promo to address the, you know, the negative comments about this, about, you know, what this place is in that way is good. And yet forgetting to address all the other stuff is bad. And that's tough.
It felt a little awkward to me.
Yeah.
And you know what? There are two other people I would have sent out there other than Adam Copeland. And I understand why you sent out Copeland, because he feels like he's having the resurgence of his career and he wants to end his career here. Those are his words. There are only two other people I would have sent out in this case, given how things are in AEW with their depth chart. And those two people are Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston. Mm-hmm. They're the only two people, in my opinion, that could have said anything like what Adam Copeland said. And it, right, to me, would have resonated more, because you have two guys who have been with the company longer, who have been very opinionated and very honest about their feelings about AEW, for better or worse. And I just think it would have rang a little less hollow. And that's not to say that Copeland, right, isn't being honest in his approach. It was just not the person I expected to hear from.
I liked that it was Copeland, simply because here's another guy who spent his entire career someplace else, the other place, as the other place likes to say about this place, the other place, far off lands, or whatever they have Cody say whenever he's talking about AEW. I liked that it was that it, because it came from a different perspective, a perspective that was kind of similar to the Phil Brooks perspective, to the CM Punk perspective, in that he was elsewhere. He came here. He didn't like it because it didn't suit him. So he left. And this is a different perspective here. If you have Kingston come out, yeah, of course Kingston's loves this place. Like he's not getting a job at the other place. So this is the place that feeds him. And Danielson, we've heard from as well. I think also Danielson has the match later. He's probably back meditating. You know what I mean? Like he's probably doing that. Doesn't want to mess up his vibe.
His chi is very important.
Yeah, his chi is so centered. If he comes out here and talks about being grateful, it's just going to put him back in a different time, and that's gonna mess everything up. So Copeland doing it, I think, is fine. I did expect them to build the Malakai thing out of this. Like I thought they were doing that. It is odd to me that they had him do one of the Cope Open Cardona. That was fun, and then Malakai shows up, and I'm like, oh sweet, we're getting Malakai versus Copeland at Dynasty, and they're like, nah, we're gonna get some 6-man tag that doesn't matter. We might get Malakai versus Copeland at Double or Nothing, if you're lucky. But listen, I've watched plenty of times where they have specifically told me, implied so heavily, that it was like they handed me a notarized letter promising that I was going to get Malakai Black versus some guy one-on-one at a pay-per-view, and they never delivered. They've done that a couple of times. So you'll forgive me if I'm a little hesitant to accept the possibility of that happening.
We got a couple of super chats here. Well, first one from Maddie Nice saying, I actually believe Cope's promo was a shoot. Now here's the thing. I'm willing to guess that if he asked for the time, he may have gotten a couple of pointers, notes, and said, I trust you, go ahead and do what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And again, if this is how he feels and he wanted to be a team player, because Copeland's done that when he was with the WWE, mm-hmm, he would do that. He would go out and be a company guy. And if he wants to do that for AEW, I get it. And I don't fault him for it.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was just the timing and the optics, like Alex, like you were saying, it's a little strange to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then It's BB also sent a super chat saying Culpin having marching orders and did he succeed? Let's ignore the marching orders. Do you think that he was successful in getting his point across in the promo?
I think that the majority of people that I have seen respond to it have been like, that was fine. That was harmless. Like, I mean, even if you don't like agree with all of it, like it's something that maybe he or they felt needed to be said. It was said concisely. Like we are now in the era of the opening promo that lasts 35 minutes. This was 8 minutes in and out, done. Here's Will Ospreay to do amazing wrestling stuff. And then he left that for my money. That's fine with me. I like that.
Found it very interesting that the show opens with mentions of Ospreay, Okada, and Mercedes. The show closes with mentions of Ospreay, Okada, and Mercedes. You can tell that not only was the money given, but also the time. So out comes Will Ospreay, shakes hands with Adam Copeland, and it's time for the Battle of Wills. You see, Alex, I don't know if you know this, but Powerhouse Hobbs actually has a first name.
Yes.
It's Will.
Will.
And he faced Will Ospreay tonight.
Right. So it was both Wills.
Wills, yeah. So it's a double entendre.
And they battled. So one Will battled another Will, and therefore it was a battle of Wills.
And a good battle of Wills it was.
Oh, fantastic.
So Will Ospreay gets the victory, gets a sky twister, and almost knocks off Will Hobbs' head, but then gets the Hidden Blade for the win. Let's get into the match. Let's talk about it. Alex, what stood out to you? What was fun? And then we'll do the post-match shenanigans.
So I think it's safe to say Will Ospreay is going to be the big champ pretty soon. At some point, let's say in the next year and a half, but by the end of 2025, I have some people who are like, it's way too early for them to put the title on him at All In. I disagree. Do it then. But it'll be soon. And when he is the champion, you want guys like Will Hobbs coming after that title. I'm not saying he's going to win it, but man, run this back when Will Ospreay is champion. Do it in a Bay Area pay-per-view in Will Hobbs's home area. This is great. I've been a huge fan of Will Hobbs. I've said so for years. He is getting better and better. This is the perfect guy, because when you have Ospreay versus Takeshita, Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher, they can run around and you know, just be like dueling gazelles, just throwing elbows at each other. Like they're just going all over the place. It's fun to watch. But when you have this guy, the first thing he does is run at Hobbs, who just pounces him through the air. And you see, this is going to be a different Ospreay match. He can't just do all the things that he normally does, because there's a grizzly bear there who's going to grab him and crush him. And this showed off the best parts of Powerhouse Hobbs. And it showed Will Ospreay having to work against a different kind of guy that we've seen him wrestle in AEW. And that's all. I always like when you can see a guy who, like, all right, I know how he's going to wrestle a match against Omega and Takeshita. I don't know how this guy's going to wrestle a match against Hobbs or Wardlow or Miro if he ever comes back. I want to see what that is like. And tonight I saw a fantastic example of it. No notes. This was almost perfection for me, aside from the, you know, crushing Will Hobbs' skull with that thing. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, Hobbs still gets up and Hobbs still operates.
Yes, he does. So he does.
He's good. Yeah. There's a gnarly suplex from Will Hobbs onto the steps towards the middle of the match. And then he follows up with a bunch of World's Strongest Slams onto the apron on Will Ospreay. And then he just fall away slams, tosses Will Ospreay on the announce desk. Stuff like that is wild. And I love what you're saying. It's true that this is a very different match from everything else we've seen from Will Ospreay so far. And that's why it perfectly plays into the announcement earlier in the day that it was going to be Bryan Danielson versus Lance Archer. And we'll talk about that in a second. But you want to talk about two guys who are building their story by the matches they're having. I think that for anyone who ever tells you, oh, what's the story? And someone tells you, oh, it's the match or the quality of the wrestling is the story. This is actually one of those perfect instances where you can turn to that person and say, Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay is not only about who's going to be the best wrestler, but they're going to face the same opponent or caliber of opponent and prove to each other who is better along the way. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're getting out of this. And I really, really love that they're doing that, taking two big dudes like Lance Archer for Bryan Danielson, Willie Hobbs for Will Ospreay and letting them just go ham. After the match, Don Callis gets in there, raises both men's arms, and of course Hobbs gets in Ospreay's face. Callis backs him down.
Yeah.
Out comes Brian Danielson. He and Lance Archer, then, not to be outdone, have a fantastic match.
Yeah.
And this makes up for Archer versus Claudio from Collision a few weeks back that happened at the last minute. It wasn't the best match. It was a little long, in my opinion. I was there live. But this one was perfect. Big man, little man, beat down, mm-hmm. hope spots. It was very well done. Danielson gets the victory. Break it down, please.
Danielson and Lance Archer, like it's what this match, this is the best possible version of this specific match. Like Danielson allowed Archer to be the Murder Hawk monster. This is great because you're building to, and I think that there's some of this with the Ospreay Hobbs match as well, but you're building to a dream match between, I think, maybe not the consensus, but maybe a plurality of fans would say Danielson's the best to ever do it. In that case, versus the top guy right now, who may, when he ends everything, be the best to ever do it himself. That is the match you're building to between these two guys. And along the way, let's see them face a couple of giant guys. And Danielson could have been like, well, I'm preparing to show the world that I'm the greatest wrestler of all time in a couple of weeks of Dynasty. So I'm going to allow the big guy to choke slam me a couple of times, but mostly I'm going to work the limbs until he taps out. And this, that was not this match at all. Because he took some crazy bumps for a guy who like doing CMLL stuff last week. And he had the trios match on Collision. And, you know, he just keeps wrestling these matches where, like, we don't, maybe if I'm not Nigel McGuinness with my brittle Brian assessment, but he has had some injuries, and you do not want, like, oh no, this match with Lance Archer led to something that now we can't see Danielson versus Ospreay for 6 months. Like, you don't want that. So the fact that they're doing this, and they're doing it safely, and they're doing it effectively, and they're doing it in a compelling way, this was fantastic. I loved all of the just Danielson coming at him and coming at him and coming at him and finally just grab you by the throat. Like, it was just this thing of, like, you can hit me with all of your kicks and your dragon screws. Eventually, I'm going to catch a hold of you and pummel you into the ground. And then Danielson has to get up from that and build another series of offense that finally leads to the Misaiku knee. I was a big fan of this match as well. I think that Lance Archer is one of those guys who has become, unfortunately, the giant jobber to the stars. Like, he's always going to look great, but you put him in there to make the other guy look good, and to have a match like this, or maybe you have a big man versus big man thing. But mostly it's just, hey, little guy, you can beat me, and it'll make you look great when you do it. But I honestly think that he's better than that. I hope that the thing with him and the Righteous catches fire, and maybe we see them as trios champs. I think that they work really well together. I would like to see Lance Archer be more prominently featured, but when you feature him like this, he always kills it.
The Lance Archer, for a while to me in AEW, was, oh, he's here. Oh, there's a battle of the belts coming up. That's why he's here. But not the case. They've been using him to his fullest potential, I think, lately, right, which is great. And he's someone that you can trust to work with a guy like Brian Danielson for the reasons you mentioned. You know, you don't want your top star getting injured before a big match, especially one like he has in Mexico this Friday against Blue Panther. So that's another big one that he's wanted for a long mm-hmm. time as Brian yeah. Danielson. Big Busaiku knee rocks Archer, leading to roundhouse kicks and a final Busaiku knee for the finish. Archer at one point sold in such a way that I thought he got knocked DFO, but instead he was just selling, and I love it. When you hit a big move or even a little, just a knee to the face, and you sell it like you're hurt, that stuff goes far. Loved it.
Yeah. Yep.
Let me tell you what I didn't love. I think we're going to talk for a while about this.
I mean,
Renee Paquette standing on the stage, and she introduces Lionheart Chris Jericho. First of all, let's get the niceness out of the way. White Zombie, rules. That song, fantastic. I will listen to that song any day of the week over the alternatives for Chris Jericho. Out comes Saunders Chris Jericho, and he says, I told Hook out a proposition to be his mentor, but I want to clarify something. And then Jericho starts quoting his own theme song lyrics, the other song, not the White Zombie song.
No, not the White Zombie song.
Out comes Hook. He says, put up the Hook signal. It was very hello, fellow kids. And then Hook comes out and he says, when you play the game at the highest levels, the rules are different. And once Hook understands that, he'll understand that Jericho is trying to teach him something. And he says, I'm not asking for your trust. I'm asking for you to believe in me as much as I believe in you. And Hook says, all right, I believe in you so much that I got us a match for Collision, but I'm keeping my eye on you. And Jericho says, bet. On the bright side, Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty are the opponents for Collision.
Right.
That's a thing. Go ahead.
So, last week he's like, my proposition is for me to give you advice and you to listen to my advice, and then Hook goes, okay. And then this week they're like, Jericho calls out Hook. I'm like, what did I miss? Was there another show? Was there an episode of AEW Dark Elevation that I missed where they like fought again? Why would you call out Hook if he agreed to take your advice? And I don't understand. I still don't get it. This is a dumb thing. Are you his manager? You're his mentor. And he is your mentee. Mentos, the fresh maker. I don't understand people are not into Jericho. Finally, the world has caught up to me. I've been banging this drum for years now. Finally, the majority of people is on my side with the correct school of thought about Chris Jericho. And I got to say, it feels pretty good. It feels pretty good. Took some of you too long to get around to this, to here, but I'll forgive it because we're all on this, in this together. People were booing. They were booing Hook saying, I will listen to you. He says, I believe in you, Chris. And they go, boo, Hook. Don't believe in him. And so, like, this is not helping Hook. We haven't even started the real program yet. People are turned on Hook. Get this done. And I thought this was going to be him like, okay, you listen to my advice. Here's your next challenger for the FTW title. And like, if Jericho handpicks the guys that he's got to face and they're different styles of wrestler, like to like show that he can beat the big guy and the techer and the luchador or whatever. And what it really is Jericho scouting Hook for his weaknesses that he can exploit in a future FTW title match. I thought maybe we were doing that, but it was just like, do you believe in me? Yes, I believe in you. And here is how much. I got us a tag match for Collision versus Shane Taylor Promotions. Like, what is that? What is in this? What is this in aid of?
Well, it's in aid of, if Jericho can sit here and say, bet, then us, you're a Fightful, can say, BetOnline.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Big shout out to our friends at BetOnline. Big numbers coming up. WrestleMania season's upon us. Gamble responsibly, would you? Alex, did I get you with the segue? Did I get it?
No, it's good. It was very good. Somebody in the chat also said BetOnline.
That was good. I like somebody in the chat said, "Bet unpopped me." You gotta avoid the unpop. Once you unpop, you just can't stop unpopping. So that is not good. Yeah.
Listen, if you can keep making Chip references, then I can make Simpsons references with Tom LaValle. Who says, Sammy, are they all booing you? No, Chris, they're saying Jericho.
Jericho, that's good.
I was saying Jericho.
Yep.
James Zimmerman also sent a super chat saying, good show, but I'll keep saying it. Chris Jericho needs to join the Elite, betray Hook, and steal the FTW championship. That's an interesting proposition. Not sure I love it, but at least it would be something different.
I mean, I don't need Jericho hanging out with Okada. I mean, I don't know. I can't listen. This was funny. Fozzy announced a 3-week tour, and the quotes were all people going, as a huge Fozzy fan, I think this tour should last at least a year. Why not 2 years? A world tour, I say. Hit every venue twice.
Hold on. Here's the problem with that, Alex. I don't know if you looked at the actual event calendar. If you looked at the tour dates,
no.
What date do you think Fozzy is not working?
Probably Wednesdays.
They are not working Wednesdays for the entirety of that tour. I'm sorry, friends. If there's one thing I can say about Chris Jericho, he is forever the workhorse. Love him or hate him, he will always make the time for the things that he's doing. So I will at least say that the man has kept himself, again, better or worse, relevant and part of the conversation. And Fozzy's no different in this case, and neither is his appearances on Dynamite. And you know what? I dropped an interview with Evil Uno not too long ago where Uno talked about making media appearances in Ottawa, Canada ahead of the AEW Collision show. And he said, you know, you get a guy like Jericho, you take Jericho. But in the case of Uno, he did local media because it was A, cheaper, and B, there was a connection. And some people were jumping down Uno's throat and saying, well, no, we don't want Jericho. But the thing is, some of you are already going to that show. There are so many wrestling fans who are not as connected, not as online as so many of us, who are not necessarily feeling the same way about Chris Jericho, and he holds a certain household name. So at the end of the day, if you get a guy like Jericho, who is an internationally renowned star, you kind of have to use him. He could still use a breakup.
Yeah, he could. Just a quick write-off, you know, just, oh no, they concertoed all of my limbs at once. I have to go away now. I'll be back soon, kids. You know, something like that. Like put him in a hot air balloon. I can't stop. I don't know how it works. Goodbye, folks. One of those.
Yeah, he'll become Judas in the air instead of his mind. Mm-hmm. I get it. Anyway, let's move on. Jay White versus Billy Gunn. Alex, normally when AEW has a match, DQs are a big deal. And tonight, they decided to do a DQ finish to protect Billy Gunn. Jay White low blows Billy Gunn. This match felt like it was mostly played to a crowd of non-TV watching people.
Yeah.
But Jay White sold like a mother. I loved his selling. Weird.
Can he sell for a big man who's not collecting Social Security? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, listen. This is the problem with the storyline. The storyline demands this kind of match. I just don't think we should do that storyline with this particular dude. Like, so you broke into my home. You know, you destroyed that sense of security for my wife. I am going to take you out. And he attacks him before the bell. He beats him pillar to post all over the arena. This is the most discretion anyone has ever used with the count out. He's beating him all over the arena. And I thought this was going to lead to some kind of distraction where we get a low blow or something. And then Jay White, the superior wrestler by far at this point in his career. You can look at Billy Gunn and say, if you're just going to let him beat up a guy, he's much larger than Jay White. If he gets an advantage by attacking him from behind before the match starts, it'll be difficult for Jay White to get going. And I thought, but once Jay White does get going, he's going to wrestle circles around Billy Gunn. I thought it was going to take about 4 minutes maximum for Jay White to get going. And the thing was, he never got going. Like, it, they showed the Acclaimed have been taken out in the back.
That should have been the finish.
Yeah,
they should have done the Blade Runner 1, 2, 3. That's it. And then the Acclaimed come out.
He looks up there and he's like, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna save him. No, I can't. I gotta beat up Jay White. Turns around, Blade Runner, boom, done. Like that. But that wasn't it. He just said, you know what? You boys will be fine. Anthony, Max, love you kids, but I gotta keep beating up Jay White. And then the guns came out, and that didn't end anything. So we got a kick to the dick, and that's the DQ. And then after the dick kick, that didn't actually turn the tables, because then the Acclaimed come out, and eventually Jay White has to run away. Like, the good news, if there is any, because I honestly don't even know what the hell we're doing with Jay White at this point. The good news, if there is any, is this kind of booking now would lead one to believe that the Bullet Club Gold is the Bang Bang Gang. They are going to win this feud, win the trio's titles, and then merge them into one set of belts, which will hopefully actually float between brands, and we'll see what happens there. So that's good. Like, if you can see far enough into the distance to be like, hey, in 6 weeks, this will all be fine. Okay, but a lot of people can't see that. They can just see a 60-year-old man beating up Jay White and their brains explode. And I get it. My Discord was full of these people and I sympathize. I was one of them. But I have to look at this and go, well, at least we know Jay White and the guns are winning this match. So.
I think Sean said this a while ago on a post show. He mentioned that he wants this match to happen. Fine. Well, I think a lot of us do. It's inevitable, but that it should have been a Super Card of Honor match. You get a lot of people and it would have been a great 6-man tag that brought people to the building. And then you don't have to stretch it out to Dynasty, which is where it feels like we're doing it now, because we're still 3 weeks away from the event. A lot of the cards been set. This feels like one of the last matches that'll be announced, but it really didn't have to be all the way at the end of April on this pay-per-view.
No.
We
waited too long. We waited too long for this.
This should
have been done a while ago. They are seriously banking on everybody loving the Acclaimed as much as they did a year and a half ago. And I feel like, yeah, sure, but like not really, not like this. And like Jay White and the Guns are the cool heels. So like it's really hard to like get a team that's not super over as baby faces to be cheered in a blood feud with cool heels that we all actually kind of like. You know what I mean? As soon as Juice Robinson shows back up, you can forget about it. These guys are going to be stratospheric. Everyone's going to be cheering for them, even though they're heels. So you can't do this kind of booking where you have like a middling baby face team versus the cool heels everybody loves. This is not going to work out there when they want it.
It's a very strange, and people are pointing out in the chat, Max Caster's Twitter has become a point of conversation, and the AEW crowd is a very much more online crowd than most other wrestling promotions, and I just find that is another factor that plays into this, is that you just don't really feel like you did maybe when they did Bang Bang Scissor Gang, when they brought it together. So it does feel like we're kind of just elongating as something that doesn't need to keep going. A couple of super chats. First, KJ sent a humper chat saying Jay White's booking is a disaster, and many of us called it after Full Gear. Lost to one-legged MJF, lost the Continental Classic, got stuck with the Acclaimed, now gets destroyed by 60-something Billy Gunn. Hard to book a dastardly heel worse than this. I don't disagree. Jay White has such a high upside that he will inevitably come out of it, and that will be fine. But right now, the way that he started has not been great.
No, I thought he was done after losing to MJF. I thought he was fantastic in the Continental Classic. And I thought that he really acquitted himself very well in those matches. And I thought that I still think that there's something for like once Juice is back, just let him basically defend the trio's titles with the Guns and move Jay White into a singles program, which is where he belongs. There's lots of guys he can feud with over belts. So like there's some cool stuff. Like if you don't have Malakai beat Copeland for it. Jay White could easily beat Copeland for it. Jay White would be a great TNT champion. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with Jay White coming out of this. Right now, it looks so bleak. I promise you. It looked so much worse when he lost to one-legged MJF. Like, it's at least Billy Gunn had the use of both of his legs. You know what I mean? At least Billy Gunn had that. They're old legs, but at least they both work.
They work. Hell, he did a couple of famousers. Second time he had to yell S-M-I-D right out loud for the cameras to pick up. Good for Billy Gunn. Really hitting it at this age. I do want to point out that there is still an AEW International Championship. And who were the Bang Bang Scissor Gang supposed to go after?
They forgot about that. That was the thing about it.
They dropped it. And imagine Jay White dropped it. Jay White going on a babyface run to go after Roderick Strong in the AEW International Championship. Would not be a bad use of our time. Right. I wouldn't hate that, but we're not there.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're not there yet. I mean, we got to get Kyle O'Reilly having a fight with honor for versus Roderick Strong that quickly turns into, no, this is not what you thought it was, Kyle O'Reilly. We don't like you, and we're gonna take you out. And eventually, we gotta get to that first.
Well, of course. We also got a super chat from Chi-Town Spurs saying, "Love that Joel's on this post show when we get one of the worst matches in AEW history, in my opinion. Luckily, we got one of the best contract signings they've ever done." Well, mm-hmm. I will take the good with the bad. We got through it. We did it. That was probably the lowest part of the entire show. Was just that block from Jericho to the end of that match. Yeah. That was the moment where I think a lot of people felt it was kind of. Meh. And again, that's subjective opinion. That's just what it is. But here we are. We got a super chat from Jambeard saying the fact that the BCG, I don't want to mess up the name, isn't treated like the Attitude Era version of DX is criminal. Like Alex said, they are heels that are cheered.
I mean, I honestly feel like not having Juice around has kind of, it doesn't feel the same. Like when that camera spin around the entrance thing where it gets to Juice and he's just going, like it's you can't, there's an element that's missing. When he returns, honestly, just take the chains off him, let him go. They will be a top three act in this company. I really believe it.
Yeah. He is the cookie crisp guy. It's got the hair and everything, and he just smiled. If you haven't seen
I believe it's the honeycomb guy, the cookie crisp guy. Is a dog that says cookie crisp.
Oh, we are so old. I'm so sorry.
Very, very old.
Who's not old is Willow Nightingale. She's on the stage with Renee Paquette.
Oh, very nice.
She says she feels mother fluffing great. I'm a big fan of that word. I'm going to start using mother fluffing in my vernacular on YouTube so that I don't get demonetized. She talks about driving up and down the Merrick Parkway with Chris Statlander. Of course, she came up in the Massachusetts area and everything, mentions the White Eagle. That's where Beyond Wrestling runs. For those who don't know, that's where Wrestling Open airs on IWTV. This isn't a plug. It's just shameless me. And then talks about, a weird, quirky, chubby, unconventional, curly-haired freak like her could make it. And the crowd cheers. And that reassures her. So she's getting ready for her TBS title match against Julia Hart at Dynasty. And as Stokely saying some nice things, out comes the CEO herself, Mercedes Moné. And she says, "I cannot wait to tear it up with the winner of the TBS championship at Double or Nothing." So Mercedes is cashing in Vegas. She gets a TBS title match. What are your thoughts about Moné coming out and the Willow promo itself? Let's dig in, because there was a lot here in a very short amount of time.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do you not love Willow? You know what I mean? Like, and even somehow you didn't before this, how do you not love her after this story of, like, you know, this is the town? Like, she names, was it the White Eagle? She names the venue across town where she used to wrestle, and the crowd goes crazy because they know that venue. They probably have seen her wrestle there. That kind of a connection with the fans. That's why. Listen, would it be great if they were selling out 15,000-seat arenas? Sure. But, like, the closeness of these crowds, like, they showed up because they love these people. And that's what's so cool about it. Like, the London, Ontario crowd was insane. Like, they've never gone there before. They were super into everything. They were chanting, "This is awesome," at a Matt Cardona versus Copeland thing before it even got started. I love that the crowds that come out are small but incredibly passionate, and they have that connection with Willow that was really beautiful to see. You could tell that she didn't quite expect this level of love. Like, she thought it'd be kind of cool if I came out there and mentioned the thing, and then they went crazy for it. It was like, oh my god, you guys know this. Like, it feels like I am your people, you are my people, this is great. And this whole thing of, like, you know, I you helped me believe that I could make it, and thank you. It was wonderful. Here's the Monet thing. Listen, I think we could all see the writing on the wall. All of the stuff with Monet and Willow. Willow was beating Julia and then would feud with Monet about this. But to have Mercedes Monet come out and, like, whoever wins between Julia Hart and Willow, I will face them at Double or Nothing. And wouldn't it be great if I faced Julia Hart at Double or Nothing? Like, no, we all know what this is. We see this coming, but the fact that you're just tell us, Mercedes, just come out and say, Willow, I just talked with Tony Khan. He tells me you're booked to beat Julia at Dynasty. Like, it becomes this really obvious thing when you set things up in advance of the pay-per-view. Have Mercedes come out and challenge Willow after Willow beats Julia. Like, I don't know how maybe it drives ticket sales to Double or Nothing over the next 3 weeks. There's a lot of, I don't know. It just feels too early for her to be calling her shot for the thing at the end of May. It's April 3rd. The last weekend of May, she's like, I'm facing you at the last weekend of May. What are we doing between now and then? We'll figure it out. It always just feels a little too far out.
And that's the thing. I would love to see something with Mercedes in a physical form before.
Oh, sure. We gotta.
We have to.
We gotta.
If it's a tune-up matches, whatever it is, just to get her on TV and show her that, sure, she can come out, cut a promo. It's fine. Give her the wrestling. She's known for the wrestling. Let her be the wrestler. Let her get out there and show the division what she was signed to be. And that is a star who is a fantastic wrestler. And I'm looking forward to that. And I will also bring up the fact that May 11th is the New Japan Resurgence show in California, in Ontario. Mm-hmm. And they say the New Japan Strong Women's Championship will be on the line. We don't know who it's going to be yet. Stephanie Vacker is still the champion there. I wouldn't be surprised if either Willow or Mercedes walk into Double or Nothing holding that New Japan Open Strong Women's Championship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe we combine it with the TBS title. I don't know. But I think Mercedes will work that resurgence show because that is in her space. She wants to go back to New Japan. We've reported on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, that the door is open, that they hope that they'll be having her.
Right.
But now, if they're going to wait until Double or Nothing to have her first match for Mercedes Moné, maybe resurgence is off the table because that comes before Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Here's what I thought we were doing when Mercedes came out. I thought we were going to be like, hey, Willow, good luck in your match at Dynasty. But I have a match that I'd like to make for Dynasty and walk right past Willow up to Chris Statlander. I talked to some people in the back. I've seen you wrestle. I think you're the perfect first opponent for me in AEW. And have that be a Willow and Chris thing. Like, okay. And like Willow being like, I want to be at ringside for your match with Mercedes, but I have that match, the title match. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. I'll be and have that, because they're already teasing stuff between Statlander and Willow. Like, have that be a further thing. Statlander versus Statlander is a perfect non-title first challenger, first opponent. I thought that we're setting that up. I thought that was what we were doing. Her coming out like, in 6 weeks, I shall face thee. Like, it just didn't. Yeah, it didn't meet. Yeah.
Me and Norma sent a super chat saying, sup, partners, let's crank. Absolutely, let's crank. I was hoping Mercedes Moné would at least set up a match soon, not in the next pay-per-view. Also, yeah. Get Athena in the division of Hussies ASAP. Listen, Athena's doing her thing in Ring of Honor. She is absolutely running that show. There will be time for her, and I hope it's soon.
If Shida beats Athena this Friday, could the reason they are waiting for Mercedes to have her first match announced for Dynasty be they are waiting for Athena to drop the ROH title? And next Wednesday on Dynamite, Athena comes out and they make Mercedes versus Athena. Like, could that be it? They're going to have Shida beats. She will be a great ROH Women's Champion. If she beats Athena for it and Athena immediately transitions to the main roster, like, I mean, I wouldn't mind that at all.
I wouldn't either. Now we have time to do it, but we'll find out after Supercard if that's where they want to go with it. I want to circle back to the Jericho stuff for a second because C. Delgado said, my weekly Alex was right about Jericho donation.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yep. And we'll go back to the other one afterwards. So instead, let's talk about this. The AEW World Tag Team Championship semifinal. The Young Bucks, they defeat the best friends, Orange Cassidy, Trent Beretta. And the big story here, Alex, Sue was here.
Yeah.
Oh, and then after the match, Trent turned on Orange Cassidy and hit him with the Busaiko knee. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. Let's talk about the match. This match was everything it should have been. We got to talk about the entrance. First of all, they're getting new camera angles for the EVPs. They're shooting them from the ground up as they come up the elevator. I love it. The EVP stitching on the vest for the Young Bucks. Love that little extra oomph on their presentation. And then, of course, you have one of the Jacksons look at the camera and say, yo, scapegoat, I love your work.
Mm-hmm.
First time Jack Perry has been at all referenced. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really fitting given mm-hmm. what's going on. The match was good. The match was great. They do a lot of back and forth. The Bucks spend a lot of time in control. I got to point out that when Matt Jackson does a Northern Lights suplex sweep, you have to pay attention to that stuff. This was a good match. Young Bucks are going to the finals. They'll be wrestling at AEW Dynasty for the tag titles against the winners of FTR and Top Flight. That's going to be on the Saturday's Collision. Talk about the match.
First of all, the scapegoat reference, I feel like, I hope is not just a, hey, this is because Punk doesn't like you, we like you thing for the internet to be mad about. I want it to be the beginning of this is how he gets brought back. Over, like, they could insinuate over Tony Khan's objections. We are the EVPs. We got this to happen. He is our boy. He's part of this thing now. And because him with the Young Bucks facial hair, got giant beard, not a good look, but with the Young Bucks facial hair And then, like, in the suit, everywhere, like, that could be a thing. They could do that. I don't know. Anyway, I thought the match was spectacular. Some false finishes that got me to, holy crap, are we actually doing Best Friends beating the Bucks here? Like, that would be crazy. I bought into a lot of them. Some really great action through the whole thing. And I thought that that the post-match was suitably dramatic. And I just really hope that we're getting that singles match at Dynasty out of this.
Shout out to Trent's mom, Sue, for the lightest of the lightest slap on Nick Jackson, on Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. If you're a worker out there and you lay on the slap, make sure it's nice and soft. Jambeard sent a super chat saying, I'm manifesting, setting up a singles match at the pay-per-view of Trent Beretta versus Orange Cassidy. Chuck gets cleared. Costo see the match. Heel Best Friends. I don't hate it. Looking at the depth chart, I don't know if they fit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do with them in that case. Does this the perfect guy to like hang out with Orange Cassidy to face heel Best Friends is Hook, and he's doing other stuff. He's doing the worst stuff. So unless they bring Danhausen back for it, that'd be a weird way to get Danhausen back on TV. The Sue showing up, I believe, as you tweeted about, what should have told us, she only shows up when big stuff happens. This is not, she's not here for just a run-of-the-mill tag tournament, Matt. No.
She's the leader of chaos.
Yeah.
Both figuratively and effectively. Right. Yes.
I thought that the setting up for the big hug, and he runs in with the knee. And honestly, like, the saddest part of all of this was Chuck's reaction. Like, him just being like, oh, man. Honestly, there's this, I don't know if you've ever had this up, this been ever in this position of being a group of friends and two of the friends hate each other, whatever, for whatever reason, some perceived slight. But now, you know, watching them have the split and not talk to each other, you will be asked to take a side. And that is the worst feeling. So, like, Jeff Taylor being like, ah, crap. Yeah. Oh, man. This sucks. I like both of you guys. This sucks for me. But it was this, he was legitimately did not know what to do. And because he didn't take a side tonight. He didn't say, hey, Chuck. He didn't say, hey, Trent, what are you doing? He didn't like walk off with Trent. He didn't come to Orange Cassidy's aid even. He just stood there watching the whole thing. He was shocked. This has been building for years, basically, since Wheeler Yuta left the group. Like, I just, it's too bad Wheeler's not around, because I wanted him to come out and just go, ah, it happened finally. That'd have been good, man.
And of course, Sue's standing on the ramp as Trent walks past his own mother. And she's like, well, what the heck was that? So there's a good amount of storytelling that's going to go into this, because there's a third thing at play. These are two of Tony Khan's favorite wrestlers in the entire universe, not named Christian. These two men are absolutely going to be fighting for Tony's love. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. I do like that Chuck Taylor is going to, he eventually will have to come to a crossroads where he decides which best friend is his best friend. And I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being that he sides with Trent. Maybe heel best friends is a good idea, but for now, I like what we can at least have Trent eventually address his actions. And this is the first time we've really seen a heel Trent Beretta in AEW. There's some meat on this bone, and I'm a big fan of that. All right. Yeah. Luis is trying to tell me that he thinks Trent joins Rocky Silverano and Templario in a CMLL faction. Okay. We'll see.
I mean, listen, we get Roppongi Vice versus Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. I wouldn't mind that out of this.
Me neither. But
yeah,
tell you what I don't mind. Thunder Rosa is the number one contender for the AEW Women's Championship. She's got her Wolverine gear. It rules. Match was fine. I don't really have a ton to say because I'm going to be honest. I like Toni Storm. I like the character. When they put her on commentary, it really takes away from whatever match you're watching. For better or worse, it's
you're so wrong about this. I want her on commentary for every match.
I get it. I love it. Listen, I know chat's going to get after me for this. And I also know that there are a lot of people who are like, I don't pay attention to the commentary. I do. I still pay attention to commentary. I get it. But when she does the commentary gimmick, the shtick is funny. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to watch a number one contendership match for the championship. And the champion is too busy saying Thunder Rosa's old and Mariah May is my protege. Well, that's what it's supposed to be. Like, there's something in there. And then she says, I don't want the under desk camera to shoot me.
Because she's so nervous, she's going to pee.
Yes.
That's what she says. I do apologize, but someone is going to have to reupholster to this chair I'm sitting in, and it shan't be me. I will not be paying for it. It is just enough. Here's what makes it for me. Shivani having no clue what to do when she says the thing. She's like, I don't know what to say to that. So listen, I guess I can see your point. I enjoyed it, and I have enjoyed it every time she's been on the commentary. For this particular match, Mariah May, the thing they did in Collision was like, Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa, and the winner will face you at Dynasty. And she turns to Mariah and is like, is this what you've been plotting? You're a genius! And like, I liked that she, here's the interesting wrinkle would be Mariah May wins. Obviously, they're not going to do that here, but if she won, would Toni Storm expect her to like finger poke of doom? Like how would that be run at that point? I want Toni Storm to win because this match versus Thunder Rosa, specifically because we gotta get that Mariah May Toni Storm thing, that facing each other for the title has gotta happen out of this. It doesn't make sense not to. Here's my question though about all this. What happened to Deonna Purrazzo? Because she lost the thing to Revolution, and then immediately was back in the thing, attacking them on the ramp. And then they had the tag match versus Storm and Mariah May, where Thunder Rosa got the pin. And then Deonna was like, well, I guess I'm at the back of the line now. I thought for sure we were getting a triple threat at Dynasty. And she's just not in the picture at all. Now.
This is unfortunately something that is common in AEW, and I was hoping that they're going to change this, where it happens a lot in the women's division. So since we're talking about it, you bring in a hot upstart, or not an upstart, but a hot free agent, and they give them the title shot, and they become title shot of the week. They lose, and they do go back of the line, and often they kind of get mixed up in the mid-card. Deonna shouldn't be that person. Deonna should have been the exception to the rule and the beginning of a change to that. And I'm hoping that they take her out of the I'm wrestling on Rampage and start building her up for whatever's next. They just have to figure out what that is, because you can't do that to someone like Deonna Purrazzo. And at the time, if it's because of the timing where they're bringing in Mercedes and blah, 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 you still have to find even a non-title feud for someone like Deonna Purrazzo, who's a great storyteller in and out of the ring.
Deonna, like, here's the deal. If this was tonight was a triple threat, and the winner of the triple threat got a singles match, and the triple threat was Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa versus Deonna Purrazzo, and the end was Thunder Rosa pinning Mariah May, Deonna Purrazzo can be pissed, but that's them's the breaks. And maybe she channels her being pissed into getting in the face of Mercedes Moné and saying, hey, you don't get to just walk in here and say, I get a title shot at Double or Nothing. That's not how this works. I haven't been here very long, and even I know that's not how this works. And then you do Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Moné at Dynasty. There, you could do it that way. I agree with you. I thought, please don't do the thing you did with Taya Valkyrie, where she had the matches versus Jade when she came in and then was just gone. Like, don't do that with Deonna. And then after she lost to Toni, they had her immediately attack Toni and Mariah. So, oh, at least they're not just poofing her down the bottom of the card. And they had her have the tag match with her and Toni, with her and Thunder Rosa. and then she got poofed. And I was like, you can't wait that long to poof. Otherwise, it looks like you just forgot. You know what I mean? And that's not good at all.
No.
You did a good point from Lord Jackson. Where's Serena Deeb? Who's out here like anybody who comes into AEW has to face me first.
Well, that's
anyway, I'll be over here catering. Like, I just feel like you can't do that.
Well, she proved that wrestling has more than one final boss.
Yeah, that's true.
Meet Norma sent a super chat saying, Joel Pearl, how dare you? I get it. Toni Storm is very entertaining. When you put her on the commentary desk, she's very entertaining. She also takes away from the match that you're watching in the ring. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. One thing I got to give her credit for, right at the beginning of the match, she gives her condolences to Tony Schiavone, who just lost his dog this week. And then he says, but we get to watch Thunder Rosa. And that just, that killed me. I loved it. Stuff like that. Keep doing
yes.
it.
Yeah.
Yep. We got another super chat from Jambeard saying Rosa beats Storm, May eventually beats Rosa, Tony and Luther turn on Mariah May like Evolution did to Randy Orton because May doesn't hand the title over. You could do it that way.
Yeah,
still got to figure out where Deonna Purrazzo fits into this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, I think there was a really great opportunity for them to do Deonna versus, but Mercedes shouldn't debut in the second week of March and not have a pay-per-view match the third week of April. That's inexcusable. You got to figure out a way to get her on that card. That is a ridiculous thing if she is not on that card. If she is healthy and cleared to wrestle matches, it is a ridiculous thing if Mercedes Moné is not on the Dynasty card. So you have Statlander is an easy thing to get to because of her connection with Willow. Purrazzo can be like, I take offense to you coming in here and just calling your shot for double or nothing. Serena Deeb can come out and say, hey, you don't get a waltz in here and just take over the locker room. I'm the final boss here. There are three excellent opportunities for opponents for her at Dynasty. Tony Khan, pick one, set it up on Dynamite next week. There is zero reason to not do that.
Speaking of zero reasons, there is zero reason not to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. You want to know more about Mercedes Moné and the details behind her AEW signing? We got it. Best $5 in the business of FightfulSelect.com. WrestleMania news and notes coming your way all week. Absolutely over on Fightful Select. On our free tier, because we do have a free tier over at Select, we did touch on the AEW releases. Anything that's a release or about an injury or maybe a big match that's about to be announced by someone like company like House of Glory that announced that they're doing Brother versus Brother is going to be Penta versus Phoenix at their big May show. That's going to be in our free tier available over on FightfulSelect.com. And we don't just do scoops. I know you want the scoops, but like maybe you want to hear a little bit more sour Alex over on Mondays and Fridays and other days that end in Y. Sour Graps got you covered over on Select. Maybe going Weekender podcast. Maybe you want to hear all about the collective and all the events going on WrestleMania weekend and beyond. Steven Jensen does that over on the Weekender podcast on FightfulSelect.com, along with our exclusive interviews. So what are you waiting for? You can do $0, get to the free tier. Maybe you want to get into our Discord. That's at zero. That starts at $5, and we go up from there. FightfulSelect.com. What are you waiting for? Huh? You too good for us? Huh?
They might be.
I don't like that. I don't think any. Are they?
They might think that they are. You know what I mean?
Me, Normus asks, can the Linder correct Joel Pearl about Toni Storm?
Listen to me, you Joel Pearl. You stay out of the business of the Toni Storm. Because I think that Toni is a wonderful and amazing actress. I used to go down to the Marquee down on Flatbush. And we would go and we would see her in her pictures. In the 1940s and 50s, she was a starlet then. She is a starlet now. Anything she wants to say on commentary is fine by me. You leave her out of this.
Have you? When was the last time you were on Flatbush? No, we're going there, Linda. Because listen, I said,
you're gonna call her back.
I'm very proudly a Jew, and I have been around Flatbush in Brooklyn very many times. I can tell you all about Flatbush. Can't tell you much about Bed-Stuy, but I can tell you about other stuff. Penta El Cerro Miedo calls out Adam Copeland. They're going to have a match for the TNT title next week, which gives me an excuse to go back to a couple of super chats about the Adam Copeland promo at the beginning of the show. Jambeard said, I say hold off on doing the singles match between Adam Copeland and Malakai Black until you're ready to take the title from Adam. Give him a few cope opens or title defenses while Black stalks him.
I said this like... Cope, he has his first cope open as the Copen challenge. He has his first Copen challenge as champion, and then Malakai Black comes out, and then they say, "All right, me and my two friends who are having a match for a title in a couple of days, the three of us versus you three guys in several weeks from now." Like, you have an opportunity to have cope open. And then he says, I'm going to have a cope open at the pay-per-view too. And then Malakai Black shows up. Like, have him have three successful defenses. He's got one with versus Penta later this. Have him do that. And then you do the surprise. We haven't seen Malakai. Like, let us not have seen Malakai for a while. And have him just out of the blue come out and face Adam Copeland. There is no reason Adam Copeland has to have a six-month TNT title reign. You know what I mean? Like, it, we need to see a surprise short title reign at some point. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, if you're going to do this, I thought we were going to get a Daniel Garcia immediately coming back. Hey, you never beat me in that match, and I never beat you, but now you're the champion. We got Christian out of here. How about you and me for that title? I thought we were getting that at Dynasty. I mean, I don't even know what we're doing here.
We got to be careful with the TNT title because that, while it was on Christian Cage for a good amount of time, not counting the Cope, you know, two-second thing.
Yeah, no, that didn't count.
Before that, the TNT title did do a lot of hot potatoing, and then Christian Cage did spend a good amount of time rebuilding that championship. I feel like Copeland should hold on to it, maybe not a six-month reign, but it should be for a few months, and if we get to a one-on-one with Malakai, that, I love it. Again, Jambeard's idea, it works. Do the stalking, have Cope do the challenges, have him, you know, work well with people that he mentioned in his promo, and get us there. It wouldn't be a bad place to start.
Yeah.
We also got a super chat from, we'll read that one in a second. Tyrone Kidd, this was going back to the Hook stuff. Can I ask why we don't have a Hook versus Eddie program? You ever seen two guys from Brooklyn fight each other? I mean, Yonkers and Red Hook. You ever see those guys fight?
I mean, that would be a really cool thing to do once Eddie loses all of his gold.
Yes.
He's still got the ROH in the strong. I think the consensus is he's going to lose the title to Mark at Supercard. I think he's got the strong belt. I don't know when he loses that, but at that point, him versus Hook is a really cool thing to do for the FTW championship. I'm not sure if he wins it. I mean, the thing about Eddie is his arc is it just repeats itself, where he rises to a point and then he crashes and burns. He's got to build himself back up. So at some point in there, yeah, have him face Hook. That could be fun. Do that.
Wouldn't hate it at all. Let's get into this the final segment that you missed part of. Alex, I'm sorry.
Just the end.
It's a world title contract signing between Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. Now, here's the problem. On other shows that I have mentioned Samoa Joe, maybe some of you don't know, I call him other names such as Mimosa Joe, Samosa Joe, Ragosa Joe. So I'm going to try my best. Yeah, Ragosa. We try to find words that rhyme or sound familiar here. That's what we do.
Okay.
Listen. Wrestling has more than one silly content guy.
Okay.
So my notes say Mimosa Joe. I'm going to try my best to do this in a professional level.
Don't call him that. He will come for you. He will bust in that door and choke you out while you are sitting. Don't ask me how. He'll do it.
I've seen him dance and rap at Wale Mania. A mimosa probably wouldn't be a problem for Joe. Just putting it out there.
All right.
However, this contract signing, we said at the top of the show, this was the right way to end Dynamite. And this gets you more hype for the upcoming match for the AEW World Championship at Dynasty. Joe sits down, runs down all of Swerve's accomplishments in AEW, speaks highly of him, and says, "You're stepping into the ring with me. It's a mistake." Says he's going to mentally scar. This is awful. Joe says it's going to mentally scar Swerve like he left a Diddy party too late. And that got a rise out of the audience. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Swerve takes over and he says the road's been winding and it's been full of obstacles, but the arrival is sweet. And then they mention Okada, Ospreay, Monet, and then there are MJF chants. And I'm just going to get this right out of the way right now. We got a Humper chat from JP saying, I know Sean said he signed, but the MJF interaction with The Rock that he is signed with, sorry, but the MJF interaction with The Rock that he is signed with WWE now, or am I just overreacting? Yes, you're overreacting. MJF mm-hmm. is signed with AEW. Mm-hmm. He's with AEW. He's not, yes. he's not going anywhere. He had some fun today on Twitter. That's all it is. Getting that out of the way right now. MJF got a chance. Good for him. Swerve says Joe is the definition of a killer, but so is he. And that a dynasty is going to show him that he's every bit that guy. Mm-hmm. Swerve punches Joe, goes to choke him. And I love this. Joe completely no-sells the chain around his neck, headbutts Swerve and beats him with that chain, goes up the ramp. Swerve grabs the mic, bleeds all over it, and says, I love this shit. And I'm taking that title. And he signs the contract with his own blood.
Oh.
Takes the pen, rolls it up on his forehead, and he signs his name. Joe is incensed and scared, runs back down, hits a Uranagi on Swerve, and buddy, it is time. It's Swerve's house. It really is. And I know you've said that it should have already been Swerve's time, but I think we're really coming around.
Oh, yeah. This is it now.
Yes.
Like this is it now. Here's the other thing that I like about the bit with the chain. I forget exactly what he said to Joe to get Joe to shove him first. And then he hit him with a little jab. And then he pulled out the chain to choke him. And this is the thing that I love about this, because this reminds me of my old days doing stage combat. If you want to get up behind somebody and choke them with a chain, you got to get up right behind them to get the leverage. There's a table in between them. So he's got to reach and he's off balance trying to get the chain around him, which is what allows Joe to twist around and get in position to headbutt him. If he's right behind Joe, Joe's done for. But that is the logic of the staged fight, that if you actually figure out a way to lay this out that makes sense, he couldn't get the proper leverage with the chain. So that is what allows Joe, who is a monster in his own right, to get out from around it, hit him with a headbutt, and then the wrapping the chain around the fist and just beating him in the back of the head while he's laying face down was vicious. This was excellent. This is a perfect continuance of what we've seen from Swerve, which is he has the match with Hangman, who's using a staple gun at him. And when he finally gets the staple gun, what does he do? He staples his own body while laughing about it. We know for a fact, this guy does love this shit. Like this is, you can't do this to me and expect this is gonna, oh no, did you make me bleed my own blood? Well, now I'm so scared. I'm gonna go back to, like, no. This is perfect. It's a perfect escalation of who this guy has been. They have a few more weeks. I don't know what this feels very much like this is the last time these two guys see each other before the pay-per-view segment. I don't know what you do for the next 2 weeks. Like, I don't know where you go after this feels like a crescendo. Like, I don't know where you, that's the thing about doing this particular segment now, that you got to have some stuff in the chamber for both Swerve and Samoa Joe to do. You can't just be video packages from here on out. We got to figure out what we're doing here, because you got to build on this if you're going to do it this way this early. But I love the segment. Him signing the contract in his own blood has been used in several contract signings I've seen over the past 5 years. But I don't think it ever has been more appropriate for the person signing it in their own blood to do it that way. This is good. This is good.
You mentioned what else they could have used? Home invasions.
Right. No, we've done that. Yeah. Yeah, we've done that.
Now, you also mentioned that you didn't get the full segment because your DVR didn't catch all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you know what? Why don't I just tell you all about your alternative? That's Nord VPN.com/Fightful. Let's go.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let me tell you right now, before we get to the end of the show, I go to Turkey for $5 a month, and then I go to the UK and I watch Dynamite, and I'm home in time to finish the show.
Wow, that's pretty
great. So can you. You can do it too over at NordVPN.com/Fightful. Go ahead and do it. Let's get to the rest of these super chats. Finish it off. Wag says, if Joe had delivered Cope's promo, quit being dicks about wrestling or I'll choke you out. Would have been effective too.
Yeah.
I think it would have been good. Throwback, who's at the show tonight, by the way. Hope you're having a great time. Says the crowd is rocking here. Swerve is the man. Certainly felt that way.
Yeah.
It's time, man. And then he sends a follow-up super chat saying, do you think Joe and Swerve lived up to the hype? The contract signing was nuts. The crowd is rocking here tonight. Thank you for making the night awesome. Well, thank you for the super chat. And absolutely, it lived up to the hype, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, like, will, I guess what he's saying, will they?
Will they?
That match is going to be brutal. Like, this is the thing about, we've seen what Swerve will do, what lengths he will go to win a match. I don't know. Maybe what you do over the next couple of weeks is do enough stuff where it's like, build as a no DQ or some kind of thing where you can use weapons and nobody's going to get disqualified. So you build to something to make that stipulation a thing that happens. But Joe can dish out a crazy amount of punishment and Swerve can take all of it. So that is going to be really good. This is the thing is that I think that, you got to remember, like, were it not for Adam Cole's freak leg injury, none of this is happening right now. Were it not for MJF, like, getting injured over and over again, like, this is not a thing that, like, they would be doing something else with the title program right now. So Joe becoming the champion and this very brilliant, like, the final boss terminology being thrown around, Joe feels like that guy, right? Every promo, every time he comes out with the title, all the fights, like, because they're not even matches, they're fights with him. He feels like that type of dude. It is the, like, Swerve is at the apex of a meteoric rise that we don't see very often in professional wrestling. And this is his time. Like, I'm willing to have been wrong. I thought you put it on him at Revolution and give him start off the title run immediately. Him versus Joe one-on-one can be a career defining match for Swerve. They said the thing. Samoa Joe says career defining feud with Swerve and Hangman, and I don't doubt that. But this match where he becomes the champion versus Samoa Joe, an absolute, and don't kid yourself about this, legend in the business and sport of professional wrestling, Samoa Joe, to beat that guy for the title at this version of Samoa Joe, that is a thing that you can hang your hat on for a decade. But I think it's only the beginning of the decade of Swerve. So this is going to be great.
Jambeard says, Swerve 316 says, I just love this shit. Put it on a t-shirt, you'll sell millions. I feel like that's the way. Rounding out a couple of super chats here. By the way, we got a humper chat from Dusty Smirking Revenge. Feel like this person likes you a lot. So that's a few bones for y'all. Thank you. So happy the Joel and Alex crossover finally happened. I've been saying it for a while. I always wanted this, and I'm glad I got it.
It's good.
Let's do this. And of course, we got United Slapnuts, fantastic name, saying DMD needs to come back and be Monet's first opponent. Hey, when she's ready, she'll be back. Right. Her and Monet could be absolutely on the table. Her and Britt Baker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't hate that at all. And finally, rounding us out, because of course, it's Jambeard, saying, why am I getting Andre Chase vibes from Jeremy now? if you came in late, just rewind to the start and watch
the start. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah,
that's right. Well, you don't need to do that with us. Instead, Alex is going to tell you what he's got going on for this week.
So we're going to be doing the SmackDown, the WrestleMania SmackDown review.
It's been 3 years. Come on, you can at least let it be a real thing now.
I mean, I'm never gonna let it happen. The WrestleMania SmackDown. We're gonna talk about who wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. What accolade that will be for a random mid-carder. And
it's Ricochet. Just say it's Ricochet.
It's almost certainly gonna be Ricochet. Good for Ricochet. And so we'll talk about that while we watch Rampage, which was taped last week. We'll get a Malakai Black match on there, so that'll be fun to watch while talking about the Under the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Then it's Mania Week, which means the Mania Weekend, I get to do two shows on Saturday, reviewing Stand and Deliver, which is a nice brunch. Just get yourself a little hollandaise sauce and sit down and watch a couple mimosas. I don't know if your name is Joe, if you need mimosas. And then you can watch that. You can watch that. And then you can watch me and Kate talk about that on this channel. And then at night, WrestleMania Night 1, will The Rock indeed show a belt with Cody's blood on it to Mama Rhodes? We'll see. On Night 1, me and Kate on Fightful Select will be reviewing that. And then Night 2, will they finally do it and do the thing where Cody beats Roman? We will have to see. And either way, I'm sure Kate and I will be mad about it. So there's that. And then there's Raw after WrestleMania, or as we call it on Five Select, we call it Raw-Soul-Mania. And then there's the more of this. Just constantly from Friday all the way through Wednesday, just constantly, you're just gonna get more and more of this. So
if you haven't yet subscribed to Fightful Select, it's not just Alex and Kate, obviously. Kate's there too. She's fine. But it's also going to be Sean in Philadelphia dropping a ton of news and scoops. He's going to be back for his WrestleMania post show for Saturday and Sunday. On Friday, I will be here. First of all, you're going to see me way too much. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm here tonight. I'm here tomorrow night for a TNA post show after the Ring of Honor crew do their thing. And Reg is in Philly. So I don't even know who's doing the Ring of Honor post show. Could be just Kate. And then it's just me doing so. I don't know. But I will be here for TNA, and then I'm going to be back with Alexis Cardoza on Friday to review WrestleMania SmackDown here on the main channel, because of course I am, because no one else is around. It's just it's me and Jeremy and Alex and a couple writers, and Cardoza's around, so here I am.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't Kate in Philly too?
Kate is also in Philly. She's going to go and watch a magic show. Like, that's why she's there. So like some indie stuff and a magic show.
So my co-host, Cressa Star, she tells me off the air after the TNA post show, and I'm gonna say it here because I can. We got a couple minutes. She says to me, I'm debating going to Wally Mania or the Nigel McGuinness magic show. And I say, why are you debating it? All your friends are going to be at Wally Mania. She's like, yes, Wally Mania is amazing, and I really want to go. But Wally Mania is standing room only. I can sit down at the magic show.
True. That is a big thing.
It is.
It's a big thing. I get it. Yeah.
Tell me in the comments, would you rather go sit at the magic show or party at Wally Mania? How about that? That's me. And of course, you can catch me over on Fightful Overbooked every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Kim Gray knows. She loves the Alex and Joel combo. She also loves In the Weeds over on Fightful Overbooked Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern until noon. Jeremy and I are always there. We're scheduled to have Mustafa Ali on Monday, by the way.
That's awesome.
We're very excited for that conversation. We're scooping Sean. Gonna have Ali on the show. Looking forward to that. So if you haven't already, join us on Fightful Overbooked, youtube.com/Fightful Overbooked. Until then, Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.